These verses from Matthew chapter 5 make us very uncomfortable. Well, some of them make us uncomfortable. And that's the way the scriptures tend to be. Some passages we like. Some passages make us feel good. Some passages of scripture comfort us. Other passages challenge us. They bring us new understandings and new revelations. They call us to new lives and new ways of serving others. They open us to new possibilities, things we've never before known or realized or felt were possible. And then there are passages like today's, which make us squirm in our seats, which make us flinch and cringe, which make us wish we were somewhere else, and certainly there must be a game today, or I wish I had slipped out before it was red, or I wish I could have slept in, or, ooh, Jesus, I don't want to hear you say this. This is landing a little too close to home. I was fine when you were bombing other sinners with what they do, but now you're hitting me, and I don't like that. It's here today that some of us may want to put our metaphorical hands over our metaphorical ears and go, na 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 na, while it's being read, as if not hearing it will mean that it isn't real or it isn't there or that Jesus didn't say it or that it doesn't apply to us. If this were just straight law, straight Torah, straight Old Testament, it'd be tough enough. The law sets out a pretty steep demand for those who wish to live their lives by it, who try to live according to its precepts. If the law is going to be the measure by which one knows they're righteous, it's going to get sticky indeed when you make mistakes, when you fail, when you stumble and can't keep it. But Jesus has to come along and make it even worse. You have heard that it was said unto you in times of old, but now I say to you. And if he were making it easier, it'd be great, but he doesn't. He makes it much harder. You have heard it said in times of old that you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you're angry in your heart, you've already committed murder. And if you say you fool, well, you're toast. Whoops. If you're angry in your heart, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but who here has not been angry or hated someone in their heart? And who hasn't said the equivalent of, you fool? Whoops. We were already in trouble and we're on line one. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that if you look at someone with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Whoop, there we go. Let's go home. That's right, we're done. I give up. We're toast. The Old Testament law, you've heard it said unto you, you can get divorced. But I say, divorce results in adultery. Oh, Jesus, don't you know the real world? The law says, don't swear falsely, but I say unto you, don't swear at all. And by that, they don't mean using bad words. They mean taking a Bible and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help me God. Uh-oh. In court, as a juror, signing papers, oops. Let your words be yay, yay, and nay, nay. Well, sorry. Our culture doesn't allow that. Our traditions in this society tell us to do that, to swear. You've heard it said unto you, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, don't resist an evildoer. Huh? Turn the other cheek. Huh? I only got two. What's going to happen? Oh, these cheeks. Oh, okay. If someone wants your shirt, give them your cloak. Go to second mile. Don't refuse anyone who's in need. I can only be stretched so far, Jesus. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy, you have heard it said unto you. But I say to you, love your enemy. Jesus, stop that. Don't make it any harder than it already is. Any good religious person knows that you make the rules easier. You bend them, you massage them for today. You make them apply for today. You don't make them harder, you make them easier. You find the loopholes in the rules and regulations. You keep the rules you like and the rules you want to apply to those dirty, rotten sinners over there, and you jettison those rules that apply to you that you don't like. That's what you do. You certainly don't make them harder, Jesus. Come on, Jesus, we get with the program. Say something that it makes it easier for us to get by. Don't make it harder. Well, at least don't make it harder on us. It wasn't included in today's lectionary reading. Half of the reading I appointed for the day wasn't included in the day's lectionary reading, but I thought it ought to all be heard at once. However, the following definitely should have been included in the lectionary reading. For without it, we really can't understand the rest of it. It's Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Not to abolish, but to fulfill. The word fulfill, plerao in Greek, the word fulfill means to cause to happen, to make to happen, to bring to pass, literally to fill up, the image being one of a measurement container, being filled up to the brim so that it is completely full, and therefore a valid measure by which you measure other things. The image is to fill up to completion. To fill up to it is to its brim until it's completely full. Here he is saying, I've come not to destroy or put away the law or the prophets, but to complete them, to fill them up, to make them whole, to make them valid, to establish them, to do them, to implement them, to take them because they have been empty or at least partially filled, to take them because they have been twisted and molded and adjusted and found loopholes in, to take them because they have been torn asunder, to take them because they have been disregarded or interpreted away, to take them and to make them full. Make them complete. Complete them in me. Let's keep going. More that was not read. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, not the biggies, one of the least of these, and teaches others to do the same, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, right there. I mean, we were in trouble on line one, and now we're toast, because exceeding the scribes and the Pharisees, are you kidding me? Jesus is hitting those scribes and Pharisees again and again and again in this passage. Those who were setting themselves up as an example for the community, those who were saying, look at me, look at my accomplishments, look at what I have done, look at how I approximate the standard of the law, take me as your example and follow what I do. Take my interpretation of the law and follow it and you'll be doing good. They viewed themselves, they viewed their own example as being truly right up to snuff. Everything and a bag of chips too. And Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, you're doomed. They were looking for ways out. They were looking for tricks. They were looking for loopholes. They were looking for ways to take these rules, these regulations, the guidelines of the Torah, and apply them to everyday living in ways that you could do. You could live. You could make it through. And if you followed their advice, you'd make it. But you had to follow it just perfectly. And Jesus is saying, your righteousness must go beyond theirs. If you're going to be depending upon righteousness, your own righteousness, a righteousness that you can achieve by doing your own works, if you are going to depend upon your own ability to approximate the law, if you're going to depend upon yourself to get yourself into heaven, then you're going to have to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Be perfect, the final verse, verse 48, reads, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're toast. Perfect? Are you kidding me? We're doomed. You might as well hang it up and go have some fun because this is going to be impossible. Perfection? Are you kidding me, Jesus? The word here in Greek is teleos. It means the end. It means the completeness. It means altogether. It means more than just without blemish or flaw. It means genuine. It means true. It means whole. It means mature, grown, adult. It means to become fully what God has you and wants you to become. It means to become mature. And that is the calling that God has for us. That is the calling that Christ Jesus has for us. That is the calling that Jesus is calling us to recognize. By our own strength, by our own ability, by our own understanding, we cannot achieve this. We can try and we will fail. Therefore, instead of trying to achieve it, trying to follow this example of the Pharisees and the scribes, we're called to recognize that it's not just the outer actions, but the inner motivations that the law is addressing. Hating or being angry in your heart, being lustful in your heart, not seeking retribution, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but instead reaching out with grace and love. Recognizing that the outward actions, while important, reflect the inner reality of the presence or absence of God. Yes, many of these rules and regulations, many of these modifications are culturally conditioned. We live in a different culture today. Therefore, it's possible to say that we live in a situation where some of these ideas, some of these applications, some of these rules don't necessarily apply. But the spirit behind the rule does apply. Take divorce. In that culture, in that era, women were property. Women were the property of the guys. And therefore, when you divorced a woman, you were jettisoning her. And she had no legal entity, no legal recourse. She was just jettisoned. She could go back to her father or back to a brother if they still lived and if they would receive her, but she was without recourse in that society. It was one of the worst possible things you could do. Hence Jesus seeking to protect those who were the least in the society said, no, to do that you are doing them an injustice. You are harming them greater. Our society has a different circumstance and a different situation. Take the spirit behind his statement and apply it. That works for all of these, by the way. The spirit of Christ behind these articulations within the law is where we should be turning. Not to legal obedience to these rules and regulations. I know plenty of Christians who will take a look in the Bible, they'll find some passage of Scripture, and they'll say, this has to apply. We found it in the Bible, we believe it, and therefore that settles it. It's not as easy as that. This is all red-letter stuff. This is the red-letter stuff in your Bible, friends. This comes out of Jesus' mouth. And yet, so much of the church is willing to pick and choose amongst these passages what we're willing to accept and what we're willing to jettison. Usually we end up jettisoning the Spirit of Christ. We are called today to recognize that we can't jettison any of it. And we certainly can't jettison the love and the presence of Christ Jesus in our lives, which enables us to live in accordance with the Spirit proclaimed here. Jesus comes to fulfill, to bring to completion this law. And with him living in us, we can see an opportunity for the maturity of God's grace to move in and through us and enable us to live according to the will of God. This may make some of us squirm and feel uncomfortable, but it is nevertheless true. We by ourselves cannot do this. We can only live the life God has for us with the presence of Christ Jesus, his grace and peace, his spirit living within us. And when we have the presence of grace and the peace of Jesus Christ living within us, then we can live the life he calls us to live. Give thanks and praise to God as we move through the rest of the season of Epiphany and on into Lent. Give thanks and praise to God that his Spirit comes to fill us and to fulfill within us the calling to live by these gracious standards, by these gracious spiritual callings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.